Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? It was before your eyes that Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Let me ask you only this: did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit? Are you now being perfected by the flesh? Did you suffer so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Does he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you do so by works of the law or by hearing with faith? Just as Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Know then that it is those of faith who are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. This is the reading of God's word. May he add his blessings to it this morning and write its eternal truths on our hearts. Amen. Well, friends, it's Christmas time. It is Christmas. It is upon us. We have passed Thanksgiving, Black Friday. We're in the Christmas season. There is Christmas decorations everywhere we go. I mean, you can go out on Main Street and you see lights on the night. We've got a Christmas parade coming up, and it's awesome. It's a great season. You might think, hey, I got to put on a happy face because it's Christmas, you know? And you know, even a lot of the hymns we sing actually talk a lot about the curse and a lot about the darkness and how Jesus is coming to alleviate those things. We don't always see that reality right now. There's still a longing. There's still a groaning in us for Jesus to come. So the Christmas season marks the beginning of that redemptive work. Still a lot to be accomplished. His return is still there. Well, a lot of people have a lot of ideas about Christmas, so that's why I just want to talk about it right away. Donald Trump, as I was procrastinating, preparing for my sermon, Donald Trump's Twitter account came up across my feed, and I saw him retweeted in a video, about a one-minute clip of him speaking, and he actually was wishing everyone a Merry Christmas and talking about the meaning of Christmas. And he said things like, you know, whatever your faith is, we all know that the meaning of Christmas is that God gave us a great gift. And that gift is that we're all God's children. No matter what our faith is, we all got to know that. And he said, Merry Christmas. And I thought, no, that is not it. That is not it. That is absolutely not it. You've missed it at the beginning and the end. Like, the reason Jesus was born 2,000 years ago is because we are not sufficient to save ourselves. We're absolutely in death and a curse. It's not a happy thing about, oh, we just need, you know, like a little reminder of how loved we are by God and we're his children. That's not it. He is wrong on that. He's wrong on, like, what's the point of it? Like, oh, we just need to remember this. No, no, no. We need to embrace it. Embrace that God sent Jesus for us because we're sinners. We need to be redeemed and we need to live Christ-like lives. Like, be transformed. And we are absolutely dependent upon God's grace to do that. And that's what Galatians is about. Galatians 3 is about, look, you started out by grace, but now you're acting as if you can do anything by God's law alone. And that's why he is really rebuking and coming out of the gate strong here. It's not a happy, it's happy rebukeness, okay? It's a very harsh tone. Now, rebuking, we're not always excited about rebuking unless we are commenting on a YouTube video or tweeting against somebody. We all rebuke in that sense, but like, rebuking's not a fun thing in our lives. We don't like to be rebuked. We tend to be stronger at our keyboard than in person. So rebuking's kind of awkward. So you came to a Christmas season sermon and you get lit this rebuking text, but it's for a good cause, right? So what is the point of Christmas, right? The point of Christmas is that we are created by God, and we're confessing our dependence upon him in his wisdom, power, and grace to save us. Jesus came to be the Savior for his people. That's what Matthew 1:21 says. We just read that. You can believe that, or you can believe that I have everything in myself in order to change myself. And so when you give that message to a people who are, like all of us, obsessed with approval, obsessed with connecting, obsessed with finding some purpose, and obsessed with being significant, we're going to just take that half gospel and we're going to destroy ourselves with it. We might see some negative things in our life. We might try to fix it externally. And that might bring some temporary change. But it's not lasting. But if we see that negative fruit and we see our sin against God, and God changes our heart to embrace Jesus, who's come in the manger and who's lived the life in our place and died on the cross for our sins, and we embrace it by faith, we can have real positive fruit. It's by faith that we live and we move towards holiness. That is the plan. That's what Christmas is about. It's not about putting on a happy face and thinking about these happy thoughts. It's not a half gospel. It's not a power of positive thinking gospel. If you just get it right, you can have everything, all of the things in your dreams. If you work hard, you can have all the things in your dreams. That's not it either. That's health and wealth gospel. That's not what we believe that this is talking about. Those wrong solutions to our problems kill us. Think about going to the pharmacy and they mix up your medicine. How devastating could that be? They have to be 100%. If they give you the wrong thing, they could kill you. Okay, if you take the wrong gospel, it can kill you. This is very serious. A rebuke is necessary because they're messing up the gospel in Galatia. They started out believing it, but now they're not. We need holiness, without which we will not see God. That's in the Bible. We need holiness. We need to be transformed. We're not okay on our own. We can't see God. All we can see is the backside of God rebuking us. That's why we're afraid of God. That's why we don't want to go to church. It's awkward. We feel not righteous. We feel unholy. Some of us do. But the good news is that God relates to us by the gospel. Okay, so if you want to grow in Christ, God's going to call you to believe in Him, to have faith in Him, and He's going to call you to work at it. This is what He's going to do. Not according to the law or through the law, but to work at it by Christ-centered gospel, gospel-driven, Spirit-empowered, faith-fueled effort. You've got to work at this. That's the good news. You work at it, and God's at work in you. So first, we're going to see, kids, that your growing in Jesus is received by Christ. It's the same way you receive Christ, by faith. If you're a Christian, think about where you came from. It wasn't like, when you became a Christian, God said, oh, well, Justin has done all these great things. Now I'm going to save him. No, it's like, I realized I am a sinner in need of hell, and I have no other hope. I didn't do any works for this. Like, it was by faith. That's how I entered into this thing. And so in verse 1, it says, who has bewitched you? It's before Jesus Christ, that he's publicly portrayed. Let me ask this, verse 2. Did you receive the Spirit by works of the law or by hearing by faith? It's through this Christ-centered message, which is that Christ had to die on a cross for my sins, and I have to embrace him as Savior and Lord by faith, and there's salvation for me. Otherwise, there's not. It's Christ-centered. He's the center of it all. And so if it's Christ plus something else, it's not the same medicine. One commentator says that a Christ supplemented is a Christ supplanted. Now, many of us have supplements in our diets, and then we use those things. But what if you did all supplements? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? How could you? Would that work? I don't even know. It sounds crazy, doesn't it? But what he's saying here is that the nature of the gospel is that who has bewitched you, verse 1? It is before your eyes that Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. That is it. That is the medicine we need. Now, none of these people, they live in Turkey. That's where Galatia was, okay? None of them actually saw Jesus crucified, probably. Not even Paul, who's writing this, saw Jesus publicly crucified, but they've heard it preached. They've seen the sacraments. They've majored on that. If you've heard it, it's as good as seeing it. Publicly portrayed. It's been spoken to you. So first, we're going to grow in Christ as we are Christ-centered. Okay? Really simple. That's the Christmas message. Be Christ-centered. Secondly, we've got to be gospel-driven. Okay? Gospel is news. It's good news. It's not here. Okay, so you get into church and now there's steps you got to take. You got to clean up your life. You got to stop cussing and stop drinking so much. And you got to start doing your devotion every day. And then that's how you really are going to get fervor. You know, it's cleaning your life up like that, working really hard on your own power. It's gospel driven. It's the gospel that drives you to change. It's the gospel that drives me to change. Good deeds grow out of the gospel. Think about Romans. If you've ever read the book of Romans, one of the greatest books to study in the New Testament. Not all scriptures are inspired, but not all that's equally exciting or important. I think that's one of the most important ones. If you look at verse chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, in light of God's mercy, therefore offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God." In light of his mercy, in light of the gospel, the good news that Jesus Christ died for you, okay? Not that we're all children of God. No, it's that Jesus Christ was born to die for you. And you are to embrace it. That is the gospel. He was crucified for you, for your sin. That is the gospel. And that's not legalism. That's not, hey, here, do this and God will like you more. It's not license. It's not saying, hey, you went to church camp and prayed a prayer and now it doesn't really matter. You've got your fire insurance, so just do whatever you want. It's the gospel. The center of your life is the Lord Jesus Christ who loved you enough to die for you. That's the gospel. Okay, you have a new king, a new redeemer, a new life. Like last week we talked about, what does it mean to have this, to be justified by faith? Well, it means our old life is crucified. We no longer live. Christ lives in us. Our whole life is wrapped up in who Jesus is. That's who we are. And so we live these gospel-driven lives. We're different. We're peculiar people. Third, if we want to grow in Christ, we got to do it the same way we received it, which is spirit-empowered. Just before the service, Brian and I were talking about how MJ, we're talking about how hard it is to explain sports to children. Like, it's just so hard. Like, so when I was a T-ball coach, I would take Grace and her friends, and we'd get out on the field, and you got to teach them to be aggressive for the ball. So you throw a ball out there, and you say, okay, we're going to have two lines. Y'all going to race to the ball. Just to kind of, like, get those instincts in them, like, they run to the ball in a way that they can understand it. You race to the ball. Because, like, just somebody hits the ball, and they don't know what to do with it. Like, if it's like the game is going on, no one understands what's going on in baseball. They don't know which way to run. They don't know what to do when they get the ball. So we got to take it step by step and sort of explain it in that way. And so, what I'm arguing here is that growth in grace is spirit-empowered. They think about, how did you receive the Spirit? Was it by works of the law or by hearing with faith? You're going to know, and I've seen this with people I've counseled in premarital counseling, is that the course of being raised in a church and hearing the gospel and hearing preaching and the sacraments and the life of the church, they're able to articulate amazing amounts of truth, amazing amounts of sanctification and growth in grace. Like, you just see, like, over time, and you don't know when that happened. It's sort of like when Knox every day gets up every morning, I'm like, did you grow 2 inches? Like, I'm just like, if I look at him, I'm not going to see him grow, but the spirit and power of growth comes at you in that way. It's the same way with miracles. Like in the Bible, like he talks about miracles as well. Did you receive miracles by doing, or is it through the Spirit? The Spirit brings miracles. Like, so think about Peter and John. They're walking around Acts 3, and there's a crippled person there who's at the gate begging. He's asking for money. He says, "Here, get up and walk." There was no works done there. It was just, here it is. There's grace. Okay, that's it. You're going to get up and walk now. In the same way, you started out with faith and by grace. Now we're thinking we got to, like, do something to earn our way through this life or to change ourselves. It's the Spirit-empowered, gospel-driven, Christ-centered gospel. That's it. We're driven through that. That's how it works. Jesus was risen from the dead by the Spirit. The Spirit is going to transform you. That's what he's making the case. Don't be foolish. Remember this. Fourth is that we're faith-fueled. We're faith-fueled. Faith is not just believing something exists or understanding it's historically true. That James makes the case that even the demons believe in God and they tremble. You know, that's not faith. Faith is not just assent mentally that something is true, but it's what are you willing to ask that something to do for you? Now, the Thunder asked Russell Westbrook to guard a point guard every night because he's 6'2", 220 pounds, however much he is. But the Cleveland Cavaliers, I would argue, have more faith in LeBron James. They will ask him to guard anybody. Okay, he could be giving up 70 pounds, or he could be giving up 5 inches to a guy, and they will ask him to guard anybody. Faith is, what are you asking Jesus to do for you? Yeah. It's not, do you believe that he existed, but are you resting your destiny upon him and what he's done? Is he your GPS? Is he driving you? Are you listening to him? What is it that you're doing? There's a story about a college student who had to make a persuasive speech. Toastmaster people will appreciate this, but he had to make a persuasive speech in his class, and he had to make a point scientifically related. So he was talking about a physics law, and the law was the law of the pendulum. So he had to make a really good point through the pendulum idea here. So the law of the pendulum, for those of you who don't know, and it's like if you release it, that pendulum is the gravity's going to take it. It's never going to go higher than its release point. That's the law. You see this every time. So what he does is he presents that law. He shows a little pendulum on the table. And he says, and for my conclusion, my professor, would you come up here? And so he has him come up there. And he has some other students come up and bring like this. They have this suspension line, this like 500-pound test line with, or it's like four of them, with 250 pounds of metal weight on the end of it. Extended over here, and so he has these guys bring it up, and he sets it in front of the professor's face, like right under his chin, right here. He's standing on this table, and he's like saying, "We're going to test. Do you believe in the law of the pendulum? Do you have faith in the law of the pendulum?" And so he lets it go, and it swings, like goes crashing across the classroom, right? And it comes back, and what do you think the guy does? The professor, he jumps. He doesn't believe in the law of the pendulum. Like he knows it intellectually is true, but he's not going to stand there and test it. Like because he knows if that 250 pounds comes flying in his face and doesn't obey the law of the pendulum, he's going to be in a world of hurt. Like, how do we actually believe? Are we really going to rest on what Jesus says about us? Or are we going to find our significance and our approval and our purpose in other things? When we're walking by, you know, we see, you know, the man or the woman who's attractive and we're tempted to have that second look at them or something like that and lust at them, are we going to trust that God's way is better, or are we going to not? There's just like, I mean, there's a million ways we have to trust God in our finances, in our work, in all that we do. Are we going to tell the truth? Are we going to fudge on things? Like, we got to trust him that his way is actually good. Okay. Finally, and this is the last point, is that this is going to take effort. Just like we talked about, I'm going to make a decision to do this or that or the other thing. Like I said, we talked about this is by grace. It's Christ-centered, gospel-driven, Spirit-empowered, faith-fueled. We're resting on him, all these things. But does that just mean we just rest? We don't do anything? Well, no, we didn't. You had to plan to get here this morning. Those of you who have kids, you really had to plan to get here this morning. We had to plan. We had to work to do this. We had to have effort. John Owen, who my son Owen is named after, he's famously quoted as saying, "Be killing sin, or it will be killing you." You have to be active and engaged in effort. That's the way God made it. You got to ask God to show you your sin. Help me to turn from it and to trust you to change. Good effort, grateful effort, because you've been merciful to me. Help me by faith to do this, to apply Christmas, to do everything not to deepen my faith in myself, but to preach the gospel to myself. Because the Christmas story tells me you can't fix yourself. The Christmas story tells me I need God. I'm ultimately dependent upon God to rescue me because I'm a sinner deserving hell. We can't change our hearts. We can't change our lives with any lasting fruit apart from His ways. That's it. But if we follow this plan, the gospel plan, the faith plan, the Christ-centered plan, if we do this with effort, we can impact so many people. No one's doing this. Well, there are people doing this. But if you lead people to this gospel, not just the half gospel, but the real gospel of Christ, it will transform people. It's transformed and gripped many of us here. You can do many things because people's imagination and their view of God expands radically from this judge who is going to judge me and I need to run from and he's not safe. Well, he's not safe. But to see him as the Redeemer who gives his son transforms everything. Thinking about final words here. I've used this story with you guys before, but if you go to the zoo, there's these African impalas, and these things grow to about 3 feet tall. They're pretty short animals, but they have this unique ability to jump 30 feet in length. That's a huge, that's like a world record if it's a human. And then 10 feet high. They can jump 10 feet high. I wish I could jump 10 feet high. Wouldn't that be awesome? 10 feet high, 30 feet further out there. Those are amazing hops for an African impala. Now, the cool thing about this is that you can keep them in a zoo with a 3-foot wall. Because these animals have this peculiarity. They will not jump where they can't see where their feet are going to land. So if it's like a wide open plain, they're going to jump way far and high. But if there's a wall there they can't see because it's their height, they're not going to jump. They won't. You can keep them in a cage with 3 feet of fence, 3 feet of fence, brick fence. It's amazing. Friends, this Christmas season, I pray that your fence is knocked down. We're all like African impalas. We're afraid to jump out on this and trust Jesus fully with our lives. We're afraid to do this. But what it is that there's a life and there's a destiny much better than what we've been living in. We've been making temporary fruit, just working like the world works, just trying to follow the rules, trying to get by. Well, yeah, we're going to follow the law of God, but we're going to do it through faith, through Christ-centered, gospel-driven, spirit-empowered effort. That's how we're going to get somewhere because it's our destiny. Jesus came to remove the curse from us, to make all things new, and that includes you and me. That's the good news. So let's bow and pray. Father, Lord, we know that it makes no sense to celebrate Christ, to celebrate His birth, while denying all these other things about ourselves, thinking we are sufficient in and of ourselves. We are not. Lord, help us to confess that. As we come to the table, would you bring us much more clarity? Would you encourage our souls? We pray in Christ's name. Amen.